Merry Christmas. Great to see all of you here this morning. Thanks for being here. Hello to all those that are watching online. Today's the day that our online membership goes up, right? It's 40 degrees and it's raining sideways. I don't blame you. You guys are brave. We're glad you're here. Hey, I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. You know, we've been in this series talking about running out of gas, that something about the Christmas season, sometimes we kind of run out of gas spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, relationally. And I don't think Christmas causes it. I think Christmas just exposes it. And I don't know if it's helped you any. I know it's helped in our family in a practical way. We talked about running out of gas, and so we got in the car last night to go somewhere as a family, and I won't say whose car we were in, because I'm trying not to expose the family to who they are, but the person announces on the way to the car, "Hey, we have 121 miles left. We got plenty of time to get there." So it's impacted our family, and so we're excited about that. But hey, during this Christmas time, I think it's easy, if you're not careful, not only to run out of gas, but sort of lose your Christmas spirit. I saw a study by Amazon yesterday that says the most likely time that you are going to lose your Christmas spirit, now listen to this, you think about where you're going to be, is on at 6:30 p.m. on Christmas Day. That is the time that an argument within the family is most likely to break out, they say. Now think about where you're going to be at 6:30, and I can agree with that, but you think about it. So here's what Amazon has done. If you have one of those Alexa talking devices, you got one of those, anything? They have built in for the holiday season a distraction technique. And so at 6:30 on Christmas Day or whenever you feel like, hey, things are not going well, people are losing their Christmas spirit, this is what you can say to Alexa. Alexa, change the subject. And Alexa will ask a question. I cannot wait to do this. And so when that happens, you go, Alexa, change the subject. She will ask questions like, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? The other one is, who is your celebrity crush? The other one would be is, if you had a superpower, what would it be and why? And so I'm going to ask you here in the coming days, how many of you had to use Alexa at your family gathering? But the reality is even Amazon recognizes there's something about the season, and maybe it's all the relationships, that sometimes not only do we lose gas, we just lose our Christmas spirit. Because we all the time saying, man, this person's got the Christmas spirit, and this person's got the Christmas spirit, and they're always talking about, because they're usually singing, and they're happy, and they got that funky-looking Christmas sweater on, and they've had their Christmas decorations up since post-Halloween, and there's nothing wrong with that. But anyway, so we say, that person's got the Christmas spirit. And all of us kind of have that little thing we got to do to get the Christmas spirit. You got that in mind? You know, for me, it happened about 10 days ago. I was ready for Christmas 10 days ago. I got to eat lunch in the food court at the Galleria. I mean, does that do it for anybody else? I'm telling you, Joellen was out. She says, where are you? I said, I'm sitting in the food court. Why? I said, because this is what I like to do. I said, she says, well, are we going to eat? I said, yeah, at the food court. And I mean, and I had Chinese at the food court. And I'm going to tell you what, I was ready for Christmas, for Jesus to come back, or whatever else happened. It didn't really matter. You've got to do what you've got to do to get the Christmas spirit. Because here's what happens. If you don't have the Christmas spirit, you're going to miss what we're reminded about at Christmas. Christmas is a reminder. Let's think about it. It's that God wants you and makes it possible for you to be a blessing to somebody else. Christmas is a reminder that God invites you and he invites me to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. That's what the Christmas story is about. It's a reminder that God wants to do something in your life that cannot be explained without factoring in God. So you think about the Christmas story. You think about Mary. Mary, you're going to get to be a blessing. Mary, you're going to get to be a part of something bigger than yourself. My story. God, Mary, you're about to be a part of something that cannot be explained without factoring in me. Now think about it. Don't you want to be a part of that? Here's the problem is, we can miss it. God wants to do the same thing today in your life. He wants to do those same things that happened that very first Christmas, but you can miss it if you don't have the Christmas spirit. In Luke chapter 1, if you got your Bibles, if you don't, it's going to be on the screen. It talks about that spirit. You know, I wanted to because when I said Luke chapter 1, what did you think? I already know that when I'm not opening my Bible. I tried all week long to find a movie clip, a video, of some way for someone to act out this. This is the passage where Gabriel comes to Mary. I watched all kind of religious movies, Christmas movies, biblical story movies, church skits. Let me tell you, all of them are weird. There's just no way that you can make this normal. I mean, all of them, you know, Gabriel comes and he talks to Mary. Gabriel looked like he just got back from Woodstock in every movie. It was just, I went home and told John, I said, I've watched about 10 things. They're all weird. There's just no way to read this and go, that's just odd. Now, if you don't think it's odd, let me tell you, that maybe you read it too many times. Because there's nothing normal about this. This is really strange. And you just try to picture how this happens. That here's this teenage girl doing life, planning a wedding, and this happens. Luke chapter 1, let's read it together. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings. Really? Greetings. Like, I mean, I'm just out there, I'm hanging out at Starbucks. Greetings. I mean, this is odd. You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And at that point, if you're sitting there and you're just doing life and the angel shows up and you're going, I don't want any more. I mean, this is how this goes down. It goes on from there. It says, Mary was greatly troubled. This is where it gets real. Greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, how would you play this out? I'm just telling you, this is odd. You just think about it. The angel said to her, and we ain't even got to the story yet, do not be afraid, Mary. No need for you to be afraid that I just showed up here with this message from God. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, what do you think she's doing like this? You think she's bug-eyed or what? I mean, you ever in a conversation with somebody, you get finished and you go, what did he say? Because you're just shocked by the first statement. You think she caught any of this? She goes on. I like this is where. What? What? How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? And he clears it up very clearly here. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I would challenge you to try to interpret that for someone. Not a religious person, but just someone that says, I don't do the God thing. I want you to try to interpret what that means to somebody that has not read the story 1,000 times. Now, how are you going to explain? Hey, this virgin is going to give birth to the Savior of the world, but the Holy Spirit came over her. See, that is strange. If you don't think it's not odd, just because you've lost touch with the story. It says, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. We know that. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. So you just read this story, and you think, really? How does that possibly happen? I mean, how do you take that kind of message? Now, we read this story, and there's a lot of people got misconceptions about Mary. A lot of people think we're supposed to revere her. You never read that in Scripture. You never read in Scripture that she's sinless. You never read it in Scripture she's on par with God. You never read in Scripture that you're supposed to worship her. Matter of fact, the only thing that makes her special is that she's just like you and me. She's ordinary. God didn't come to her because she's wealthy. She's a female teenager in that culture. I can assure you she wasn't well. It wasn't because she was educated. No. She was a poor, uneducated teenager. It wasn't because she was mature. She's a teenager. And it's because of that that makes it miraculous. And unbelievable. But the reason that we read the story and the reason we're talking about her today is because of her spirit. It's because of her spirit. One of the things that you notice about Mary, you just read the story on, Mary had what I call, and it's the Christmas spirit. She had what I call a yes spirit. She was available. You know anybody who's got a yes spirit? What do we say here? We've said it many times for years, and we always say, what do we got to do? We got to say, yes, Lord, now. Oh, you were listening. Yes, Lord. Now, what is the question? That's what it means to have a yes spirit. Yes, Lord. Now, what is the question? And so you ask yourself, if you got the Christmas spirit, do you have a yes spirit? Because now we know what a no spirit is. You know anybody's got a no spirit? I mean, it don't matter what you ask them to do. You're trying to get them involved in a God thing. You're trying to tell them, hey, God wants to do something in your life. He wants to use you to be a blessing. He wants to do something that bigger than you. He wants to do something in your life that can't be explained unless you factor in him. No. Now, I don't know why they say no. I don't know if they're scared. I don't know if they're just selfish. It doesn't matter. But Mary has a yes spirit. She's available to the oddity of this request, to this thing that is bigger than she could even comprehend. She says, yes, God. Now, what is the question? She had that spirit before Gabriel ever showed up. She already had that spirit. You see, we always talk about, we read books, that, hey, God's got a purpose for your life. You ever hear that? Preachers love to say, God's got a plan for your life. What we don't tell you is that, hey, don't miss it. God had a plan for Mary. This is something that had been planned from the beginning of time, but she was available and she had a yes spirit, because you have to choose to cooperate with what God wants to do in your life. And the reality is, we don't like to tell people, it's like, you're about to blow it, sister. Because you got a no spirit. You're about to blow it, brother, because you don't have a yes spirit. And a lot of people, when they have a no spirit and they live a life and they go, man, I don't know what there is with this Christian life. I don't know. Is this all there is? Well, there is. That's all there is for the no spirit, yes. Until you're willing to say, yes, Lord, now what is the question? You're not in a position to experience everything God wants you to experience. And what is that? Something bigger than yourself. Something that's going to be a blessing to other people. Something that can't be explained unless you factor in God. But it all starts with that yes spirit. To simply say, man, I don't want to miss out. I mean, this plan that Mary's presenting. Now, just think about it. Teenage girl, engaged to be married, poor, uneducated. Oh, by the way, the Holy Spirit's going to come over you. And you're going to give birth to a boy, and he's going to be the Savior of the world. One of the reasons we talk about her today is because of her attitude within that plan. I mean, you read on in Luke chapter 1 and verse 46, it tells us this. It says, and Mary said, this is later on, this is her spirit, this is her attitude toward the plan. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. All generations will call me blessed. Two things that you notice about her attitude in this yes spirit. There's joy. What does she say? My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices. You know what she's saying? I've got a desire. I don't understand it all. I've got some questions, but I have a desire to do what God has put before me. And then secondly, she says, I do that because he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. In other words, not only is she joyful and she has a desire to do it, but she has an attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude and humility. She's going, I can't believe he's letting me be involved. So when you think about what God is doing in your life, what he's doing around you, what he's invited you to do, what attitude do you come? You can't just come with a yes spirit. You got to come with the attitude, I can't believe he let me do this. And Mary didn't look at Gabriel and go, I was wondering what took you so long. We've been waiting 400 years for the Messiah to show up, and I've been sitting here waiting. I'm ready and available. No, she says, I can't believe he came to me. I can't believe he's going to let me be involved. Now think about it. Do you have a yes spirit that says, man, I desire what God wants, period? Do you have a yes spirit that says, I cannot believe, I don't know what it is yet, but whatever it is, I can't believe he has a plan for me. and I get to be involved in what he is doing. The reason we're talking about marriage today, and the reason you need to have the Christmas spirit, because the Christmas spirit is not just bells and whistles and joys and songs and lights. The Christmas spirit is a yes spirit that says, I'm available. Another thing that you notice about her is that the spirit of Christmas is that she had a determined spirit. A determined spirit. She had a kind of a, what I call a keep going, a stick-to-itiveness spirit. Look at verse 38, and we back up in Luke chapter 1. She says, and she ends that conversation, she says with the angel, I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant, she answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. In other words, she says, I'm ready. Let it be. Let's get it on. You say, Jeff, you really think she said that? No. But that's what she's saying. I'm ready. Whatever, I don't know what it is, and I don't understand it all, and I know you said the Holy Spirit's going to come over me, and I don't understand all of that. But what she has is a determined spirit, because what she's doing is risky. It's going to cost her some things. When she said, fulfill it, she's going, I'm all in. I'm not cutting any corners. She knows that she's going to have to give up some things. She hadn't figured it all out, but I can tell you, in that short conversation, you ever had something come before you and your mind just begins to spin and you just think about all the things? I mean, she's supposed to be married soon. You know, I told you, there's just no way to make this thing normal. I mean, you know she had to go, well, how am I going to tell Joseph? I'm going to tell his mother. I'm going to tell my mother. How do we tell the person that's supposed to be catering the food for the wedding? It's just weird. And all this had to be running through her head. She says, let it be. May it happen just as you said. She knew she was going to have to give up some things. She knew it was going to cost her. She knew there would be tough questions from the neighbors. Tough questions from her fiance, tough questions from her own family. She knew it was going to cost her reputation. It was going to cost her this dream marriage. It was going to cost her some plans that she had. We don't think about that. We all look at Mary. She had baby Jesus. Do you realize, we forget this, Jesus is born, and we got angels singing and wise men coming. But do you realize it was 30 years before he came on the scene? 30 years later is when he starts coming on the scene with his public ministry. So all the neighbors and all the people around, it wasn't like he showed up the next day and started walking on water going, well, she was right after all. Don't you know 30 years later when he did walk on water and he did heal, some of her neighbors said, you know, we ought to go apologize to Mary. We forget that. It wasn't just she had a baby and had to deal with all of it, but for 30 years, she raised this baby. He became a youngster. He became a teenager. When they walked down the streets, that's the boy, Mary said, the Holy Spirit came over her. He looks normal to me. For 30 years. You think it cost her anything? You think it was risky? But she had a yes spirit. And she had a determined spirit. And when Jesus is crucified, who's at the cross? Mama. And he looks at one of the disciples and says, you take care of her. She had a determined spirit. It's tough. She's pregnant. She's single. She's alone. Then they sent her to another city. Remember we talked about it last week? She's 9 months pregnant, has to go nearly 100 miles. I don't know if she rode a donkey or not. It doesn't matter. Her family's not there when she gives birth to her first child. As a teenager in a barn with this message from God, all that's running through her head. She had a determined spirit that says, listen, when it gets tough, I'm not turning back. I don't know if you look at Mary. I'm going to tell you what. Mary was one courageous young lady. You think she was fearful? She's terrified. But she kept moving. And if you're going to experience what God wants you to experience, there's got to be some points in your life to go, it's not going to be easy. Everybody's not going to understand. It's going to be tough. I'm fearful, but I'm saying yes anyway. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is not the best circumstances. Courage is not everything's in line. Courage is saying, yes, Lord, because you say so. Yes, Lord. This is a tough, tough situation. I mean, she's a person of great faith. We talk about faith all the time. I'm going to tell you what. Faith is when you just keep on moving and you don't have all the answers. Because she didn't have many answers. But she trusted God. And she wasn't going to miss out on what God had for her. Let me ask you, are you missing out? You say, I don't know, Jeff. I can tell you you're missing out. If you don't have a yes spirit, you don't have a determined spirit, if you've quit somewhere along the way, you didn't have to make a proclamation and go, I'm out, I'm quitting God. No, you just stopped being available. That means you quit. You weren't determined. And today, I'm telling you, Christmas, get all the presents you can get, light up all the lights you can go get, come to all the Christmas Eve services, but somewhere in the midst of this, you determine that you're going to have the Christmas spirit that's not really about Christmas, it's about life, to simply say, yes, God, bring it on, I'm ready, and I will not quit. You know, I don't listen to many Christmas services if they don't sing that song, Mary, Did You Know? Y'all know? It's not on our playlist. Y'all want to sing it right now? We'll sing it as a special in just a minute. But I love this song. Mary, did you know that your baby boy was going to walk on water? No, she didn't know. She didn't know any of that. She knew nothing. She knew an angel, which was very odd, showed up at my house and told me I was going to have a baby, and I don't understand how it's going to happen, but I'm having a baby. I don't understand any of that. You know what she did know? I can trust God. She didn't know any of that. She just said, yes, Lord. I'm available. And so today, the Christmas spirit is simply going, man, do I have a yes spirit? Do I have a determined spirit? Am I willing to say, I don't understand it all, but whatever, whenever, wherever, God, I'm in. I'm not going to have a no spirit any longer. A lot of people say, well, the circumstances aren't right. Can you imagine a worse set of circumstances than what she's dealing with? I mean, can you imagine? Talking about an inconvenient time. Yes, Lord. I'm in. And I'm in until the end. Because I know, you know what Mary would say? I know you can trust him. So what does that look like for you? You're not going to show up with a baby because you've been overcome with the Spirit today. That's a one-time deal. But don't you ever forget, he wants to use you to be a blessing. He's invited you to be a part of something bigger than yourself. And he will do things in your life that cannot be explained without factoring in God. I was just about to walk out here a minute ago, and I just smiled to myself. After I first walked on a stage like this, I'm still the guy voted most likely never to speak in public. I ain't having no baby. But the Spirit still overcomes people.